So we're coming to the end of our summer season. Next week we're going to be starting off into getting back into the Christian education and the other things that go along with that. But over the spring and summer, we've made a pretty serious commitment to reinvigorate those biblical truths of our church covenant and our statement of faith. You know, how we agree to act together as a local gathering of disciples and those non-negotiables of our faith. And for me personally, this has been one of the most amazing, daunting, and fulfilling times in my life. We've gone to some of the really deep bedrock foundational truths. And in some cases when we're doing that, I found out I had some cobwebs in some of those areas I had to dust off, or I had to even recalibrate my thinking and theology. You know, it's easy to get to that lowest common denominator and not think about some of these deep things. So it's been a very rewarding time for me, and frankly, some of this stuff blew me away. I'm hoping it was the same for you, that as you've gone through this, you've been exposed to the Word, and that you've seen the application of your life and in this church in a way that really makes a difference, because it is very intentional that we look at the depths that go on in the Scriptures with this. And I'm praying that we're going to continue looking at these depths as next week we're going to start off with 1 Peter and start working through the book of that. But I'm praying that as we go through this, we'll continue to grow and multiply together. But today we're on our last section of the statement of faith, and that's the gifts of the Spirit. And I want to really focus on the application of those gifts this morning. And I want you to be asking yourself, you know, as we go through and look at this stuff, how do you personalize it? How do you personally take this in and apply it in your life and how God's working with you? How do you get that truth of the Word and make it so it gets the 18 inches down to my heart? And then, as it's working through you, how does it impact those that are around me? How does it affect the entire body life? Personalize it. Take it in and ask the Lord to show you what the application is in your own life with this, especially on this topic of spiritual gifts. My hope is you'll have a deeper appreciation of God. You'll have a deeper appreciation of His infinite love to send His Son, to fill us with the Spirit and for His glory. And ultimately, we'll all have a deeper appreciation of His love that goes through us. So let me open us up in prayer, and then we'll look at the Scriptures on this. Father, I thank You that You are the one who's at work in Your body. I thank You that You're the one who is constantly glorifying Yourself as we, Your people, as stewards of the grace You've given us, are able to see how You're using us in ways that we couldn't possibly use ourselves or think of ourselves. Father, we thank You for Your glory. We thank You it's to testify to the greatness of our salvation and the redemption that we have through Your Son, that the whole world may know. Father, it's in His name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today we're going to be looking at the gifts of the Spirit, and we're going to have three main focuses on that. The first piece is just a reminder and a reassurance that any gifts that we have come from the Spirit Himself. Any spiritual gifts come from Him. I also want to make sure you understand that these gifts are for the church and that they're to the world. So as we go into that, we're going to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you can open up if you're still there from where Craig was reading it this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's look at verse number 4. Paul tells the Corinthians, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God who is at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We just want to emphasize, as we even open up this topic, that the one that distributes the gifts is the Holy Spirit of God. And we want to be sure that you know who receives the gifts. It's each one. Every single believer in Jesus Christ receives spiritual gifts. God does that for His purposes. And this verse reminds us it's different kinds of gifts for different services, but it's all for the same Lord. God does different kinds of work in different kinds of people. And each one has a manifestation of the Spirit. And I think as we just pause on that for a second and just recognize, you know, there's a lot of talk of diversity in our culture today. I'm just amazed that God loves diversity far more than anyone in our world loves diversity. And He's made man and woman in His own image, but He's done them so uniquely. Even those of you that have identical twins, or those of you that might have them soon, know that God has made every single person so uniquely. And then when He gifts them spiritually, it comes out in all sorts of different directions. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But every single unique follower of Jesus Christ, every single one has a gift that's uniquely fitted for you. Not just an ability that you're good at, not just something that you're naturally good at through the talents and the abilities God's given to all different people to do things, but a gift of the Spirit that's beyond your natural means. Do you believe that God provided you with a unique gift to use in the body? Well, this can take you out of your comfort zone, right? And we've talked about that in our men's prayer, about how it's so easy for us to get used to doing things within our comfort zone, not relying upon the spiritual abilities God's given us. But we need to know, we need to recognize that God is working through you in the manifestations of the spiritual gifts He's given to you. God is doing that. He knows what He's doing. And you need to trust Him to do it through you, whether you're comfortable with it or not. But how much do you suppose God's going to be willing to work through you to manifest the spiritual gifts to others if you're walking in disobedience? How much do you suppose God is going to manifest His glory through those in spiritual gifts if there's deliberate disobedience that's going on? They know the truth, they know how they should apply it and somehow act on it, but they choose inaction or procrastination or even some kind of a downright apathy. You know, I think of, Jeff mentioned the little guys that were singing during the song. You notice they weren't singing every single word. They can't read. So all they did is they just sang the words they know, right? They walked forward and did what they knew. They didn't know the entire song, but that which they did know, they shared it. It's the same thing with us with spiritual gifts. We need to walk forward in obedience. That which we know, we need to walk forward and step into that. And if you think about this, you go back to the parable of the talents in this area. You know, the good servants knew who God was. They knew how He treated His people. They knew what He expected of them. The extreme value of the talents that He gave to them. And they diligently worked to multiply those talents. And the poor servant just buried it in the ground, claiming that it'd be better than risking it and losing any of it. And he was cast out with the dirt still under his fingernails. So in the whole concept of spiritual gifts, if you're walking in disobedience, get right with the Lord. Find out what He's, as we sang earlier, and He'll lead you to repentance in areas that are holding you back from ministering in ways where the Spirit's going to work through you through those spiritual gifts. Now, maybe some of you don't know what your spiritual gift is, and maybe you're a little nervous to find it out. Now, it's really easy. Go online. Just Google spiritual gifts and you'll come up with all sorts of wonderful surveys that you can take that will tell you all things about your spiritual gifts. Kind of like going on to WebMD and finding out that no matter what, your cough means you're going to die, right? You've got to be careful with that kind of stuff. But instead of trying to go through all that, just talk to the one who created you. Just ask your Father how He's gifting you in a way that can be used for the church. Not in a proud kind of a way, but if He made you, He knows you better than you know yourself. Just ask Him. And ask God to show you how He's gifted you for the ministry, and even more importantly, how to be faithful with what you've been given. Just how to be faithful with what you've been given. Others around you, they're also going to affirm certain giftings as they see them manifested. But finally, you need to take a step out into faith and to see what those various gifts are, and to see what happens. So maybe you don't know what your spiritual gift is, but with my four adult kids, they all had an opportunity to go through Child Evangelism Fellowship, and Lydia just went this past year as well. And they spend a week and a half in the woods learning all these biblical principles, and then they go out and they have opportunities to visit areas of Worcester I wouldn't go to have these clubs where kids come together in the park to hear the gospel in a clear way and to build relationships and to share with them who Jesus is. And it really kind of in a frontier mode of doing this. Kids that may have never heard the name of Jesus before unless it was a swear. So all four of my adult kids have gone through that. And it manifests itself in different ways. Just because they've gone to an evangelism class doesn't mean they're a gifted evangelist. And evangelism classes aren't just for those who are gifted evangelists. Right? All of us should do the work of an evangelist. So they go there, and my oldest son, Jonathan, how does it manifest with him? Well, we met some of the folks that he works with yesterday at a picnic his company had, and they shared with me that he's sharing Bible verses with them. He also took a little flea market in Providence, and for a couple of years he set it up as the gospel outpost to hand out free Bibles. So he used that training in a different way, not necessarily as a gifted evangelist. Abigail, as you know, is a missionary overseas. And she's not necessarily in an evangelistic mode in the gifts she's using in that team. She certainly has giftings, but not necessarily in that way. Karen, when she was watching the kids during our marriage study, she couldn't stop herself but to make sure that they were having a good Bible lesson and with that evangelistic training she's had. So they've all used it in different ways. But my second oldest, Juliet, she's maybe a little brassier and more boisterous than others. If you've met her, she'd say that she's not bossy. She just has good leadership skills. But she's the kind of person that when she goes out into a park with her church, she spent 5 or 6 weeks this summer with her church, going out in the park, dragging people with her to get them out there to find these kids, to round them up, whether they liked it or not, to make sure that they had a full presentation of the gospel and they had an opportunity to understand who Jesus was. Well, I would say she's got the gift of evangelism, right? And Juliet, in her training, she has taken these spiritual gift tests. And you know what? They confirm. She pegs really, really high on evangelism. But at the same time, when she takes these tests, they show that in other areas like mercy, if there were a negative score for mercy, she'd get it. God's really gifted her in this area. He hasn't gifted her in the other area. When the kids are having issues with the parents, they don't run to Juliet for comfort. They run to Karen. I'm sure Peg's a bit higher in the mercy department, right? Very, very, very amenable to the kids. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is just because someone's gifted in a certain area, does that excuse Juliet from acting mercifully to other people? Well, I don't have the gift of mercy. I'm not going to do that. No, absolutely not. We all have the responsibility to do that, right? I don't have the gift of evangelism. I'm not going to do that. Well, once you start understanding what your spiritual gift is, don't think it excludes you from doing the other stuff because, oh, no, I'm gifted in this area. I'm not going to take care of those things, right? And again, I'm sharing this as an example. Craig encouraged me to share a lot of examples so you'd understand how to really work some of this kind of stuff out. But as God starts showing you what your gifting is, yes, you need to march forward with it. You need to step out in faith. And he's not going to just send you an email and say, here it is, go ahead and do it. You're going to have to walk out in faith each step of the way with it, and he'll confirm it with you, and other folks will go ahead and assure you with it. Now, maybe you're not a gifted evangelist, but you know what? Risk it. Try to share the gospel. See what happens. Maybe somebody will accidentally get saved. Wouldn't that be great? And you may not be a gifted evangelist. Oh, well, we'll take it, right? So in all this stuff, it's about stepping forward in your faith, not about trying to put labels on yourself, but to make sure that you're going to be going forward and doing the things that he's making clear to you. God's always going to make it clear to you on how to be obedient in every single thing that you do. That's how he operates. So God's the one. He gives you the gifts. He enables you to use them. And he also shows you how you're supposed to use them. I want to just look at 2 Corinthians 8:2. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. You know, I should probably turn over to 2 Corinthians instead of 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 8:2, he's talking about the church in Macedonia. I mentioned this may be the Thessalonican church because it was the capital there. But for in severe tests of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. You know, there's an overflowing that goes on there. And I think as we look at how we're supposed to use our spiritual gifts, how we're supposed to use everything, but how we're supposed to use our spiritual gifts, it should be an overflowing. It should be a bubbling up, a percolating, a pouring out without, and that's really beyond our control as he's working inside of us. And I think it's a great example to look at how that goes through. You know, that same word is used in Romans 5 where it talks about what Jesus gives to us. He says, but the gift is not like the trespass. For if many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? It's the same thing. God's grace overflowed through Christ to us, right? And so everything that we're doing should be overflowing to those that are all around us. We should be overflowing, abounding, percolating out, bubbling up with our gifts. You know, I'm trying to figure out how to communicate this best. And I go back into Ephesians 1, where there's just that reminder that in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of grace, with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. You know, you think about what this lavishing is, this overflowing, this abounding. You know, God's grace is coming onto us in ways that we can't possibly hold it back. In the same way, our spiritual gifts, they need to overflow out of us because of that grace that's coming into us. Ultimately, we're just transmitters of God's grace as it flows through us in the forms of these gifts of the Spirit. So as you're thinking about what God's given to you, you know, Harold Burchett had this great illustration. You know, if you have a nice long pipe and you want to have something flow through it, which end do you need to clog up? Where things are coming in or where things go out? Well, it doesn't matter, right? If you're not letting anything come in, nothing's going to flow through the pipe. If you're not letting anything go out, nothing's going to flow through the pipe. As God is working through us, we need to transmit His grace. We need to transmit the gifts He's given to us for His purposes. And it needs to flow through us. And if nothing's flowing out of you, well, then don't be surprised if nothing is flowing into you. Right? God gives it to you and expects you to take that talent, that spiritual gift, whatever it is, He expects you to be investing it, to be doing something with it, to transmit it on, to multiply with it for His purposes and His grace. And we just need to know that all of this, you know, we talk about the spiritual gifts. It's not about bragging about what gift you have. Because the spiritual gift, really, it's not for your good. Your own spiritual gift is not for your own benefit. Now, you may see other people operate differently on television shows with the televangelists and everything else. They'll talk about their gifts and how they benefit from them. Really, the gift is not for you. It's for the common good. It's not just for your good. You can keep your finger in 1 Corinthians, but I want to take you to 1 Peter 4 and talk about the gifts for the church. 1 Peter chapter 4. So we understand the gifts are from the Spirit. They need to flow through us. We need to be the ones that transmit those gifts. And then we need to recognize that those gifts are for the church. I'm going to start with verse number 7 in 1 Peter 4. The end of all things is near. That's encouraging, okay? Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. And above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should speak as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. You know, I'm including that beginning of it because this is a very somber tone. You know, this is not a pat yourself on the back that you have spiritual gifts. Understand the end is near. Be alert and be sober. And because of that, we need to have a very deep love for one another. And in that love, we need to be ministering our gifts one to another, whatever they are. We need to be faithful stewards of God's grace. Don't hold anything back. The end is near. God is very clear to us that as the days are progressing, we're one day closer to the return of Jesus Christ. Don't take any of the gifts He's given you and hold on to them, waiting for some other time or to work out the details. Risk it. Go ahead and use those gifts that He's given to you. Don't hold anything back. You need to make sure that you're speaking or you're serving so that God may be praised through Jesus Christ, and He's the one that receives the glory, not us. Now, I don't want anyone to get into a church busy work kind of a guilt trip going on with this. That is not the intention of this. It's an opportunity to be used by the living God to function in the way that He designed you. And I just want to give you another example of this. You're not going to use a scalpel to build a house. You're not going to use a hammer to remove a tumor. Each one of us is built differently with different kind of giftings. Don't try to just be like anyone else, right? Use the gifts that God has given you by the grace that He's given to you and the amount He's given to you. Now, when we have our family work days, does that mean that only those with that gift of service or those certain skill sets should show up? Well, of course not. Absolutely not. Maybe you have absolutely no ability whatsoever to do anything when we're doing our work days together in the physical property. But if you've got the gift of encouragement, why show up? We certainly need that to be here, right? Maybe you've got the gift of hospitality or administration to help out with those kind of things. So don't just think you can exclude yourself because you don't have what you see as the skill set in it. You need to step forward with whatever God's given to you and come and see how God's going to minister to the saints through you. Now, as a church, we want to make sure that those opportunities to minister are absolutely available for you. You know, last week we had a kind of an over-the-edge example of that where we just knew it was time for folks in the body to share their testimonies. We wanted to hear from Tom about what's going on. We wanted to make sure we knew what's going on with the Hunts. We certainly wanted to make sure we could be engaged and enfolded with Diane with everything she's going through. We want to have those opportunities on a regular basis. When we came together today, we shared some prayer requests. You know, family time needs to be family time. Don't come here and just think I'm going to sit and listen to what's going on. Share what's going on. Share what's happening with you so we can hear those testimonies. You know, Jeff, it's phenomenally great that you shared your story of going up Mount Washington, right? As we have these opportunities to share with each other, it's family time together. We want to make time for that. And believe me, we'll make time for it. If you have a prayer request, if you have a testimony, if you have a scripture, if you have an encouragement, then yes, by all means, come in and be expected to have the opportunity to share that stuff. Just let us know, and we'll make sure there's a chance for that to be shared. And there may be times when you come in and just being at rest where the body ministers to you. You know what? During those times of healing and renewal, just be fed, be served, and be restored. And then let the body of Christ operate around you like an actual body. If you look in your bulletin, you'll see Ephesians chapter 4. And we read this last week, but just to look at it on the front of it, Ephesians chapter 4 just reminds us of how that body is built together. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So we talk about the church as a body. Well, who's the one who builds the church? Jesus is the one who builds the church. And we need to recognize that. And those first five offices, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, are they the ones that build the church? Well, if it's a pastor-centered church, you may tend to operate that way. But who's the one who builds the church? Jesus builds the church. And those that are in the opportunity to equip the saints and have the opportunity to do that, we're equipping the saints for the work of service, but the saints are the ones who are doing the work of service that build up the church because Jesus is doing it. You know, it's really easy to think of a certain small set of people as doing all the work in building the church. And in reality, all the elders are doing is equipping the saints to build the church up. We're not giving you spiritual gifts. God's giving you the spiritual gifts. We're not building the church. Jesus is doing that. And I try to get a picture on this of, you know, what are the elders like? Well, if you ever think of like a factory or a work site where you're going to work and you need to get a job done, there's a place called a tool crib. And you go to the tool crib and you get help with your tools. Think about this. God's assigned all these tools to you, but maybe you don't know how to use them. Maybe you don't know how to sharpen them. Maybe you don't know how to maintain them. Well, that's how the elders can help you. Right, as you're working through these different tools, we can help you understand how to use them. It doesn't mean that we're subject matter experts. I can go ahead and give you counsel on what it is to use the gift of hospitality. It doesn't mean I'm a subject matter expert in hospitality. And you can ask a number of people about that. Maybe your job is to change a light bulb in a cell tower. I couldn't do that. But I can go through and say, okay, is your harness on? Check, you got your harness on. All right, are your boots good? Okay, check, your boots are okay. Do you have any holes in your gloves? Check, okay. Are you wearing your hard hat, your safety glasses? Okay, great. Okay, I'm going to encourage and equip you. But who's going to do the work of climbing the cell tower? It's not going to be the elders. It's going to be the people equipped by the living God to be able to do these gifts. And God's going to equip you to do that. And we'll support you in that, and we'll encourage you in that. But at the end of the day, the body is built up by Jesus Christ as each part does its work. This isn't a shedding of any responsibility. This is assuming a huge responsibility as leaders to make sure we're encouraging and doing those kind of things. Now, for my end, I mean, one thing I like to do, I like to get people together. I like to be able to talk and meet and figure things out and work things out. And when I do that, maybe I'm gifted in those kind of areas, but I always forget one key thing. Is that when people get together, they like to eat. They like food. So I was at this ministry leaders meeting 2 weeks ago, and somebody at the ministry leaders meeting says, oh, when I hear about meetings, my ears perk up because I think people will need food at those meetings. Wow, isn't it great how the body comes together, right? I never think about food unless it's already there, right? And I thought about that example, and it was even mentioned this morning, right? You know, we had the dads getting together to try to figure out what to do with the boys so we can raise them up towards men, and we've got this really big spiritual responsibility of what's going on. And in all of this, you know, as Phil Smith is getting ready for that training, he asks that important theological question, how do I turn the coffee pot on? Now, he didn't even ask Helen that question, he asked her daughter. But as he's trying to answer the question, how do I turn the coffee pot on? Yesterday morning showed up, and so did Helen. She kind of just made her way through the men's prayer time. It was fine. And then next thing you know, not only is the coffee pot turned on, but there are these three platters of stuff out there that is just phenomenal. Because her ears perked up, she heard there was a meeting going on, and she went ahead and she ministered through that. We couldn't stop her. And Phil still doesn't know how to turn the coffee pot on, right? We couldn't stop her. We couldn't restrain her. Now, I don't know if Helen's gift is hospitality and it's coming out that way. I don't know if she's just a really good baker with a gift of encouragement. I'm not going to get hung up on the labels. It really made a big difference to the body of Christ to have us come together and see that other folks care about what's going on with these young men being brought up, and they're going to support in ways we'd never even think about, right? So as God's given you a gift, He's given you an ability, we're not going to be able to think, you do this, you do that, right? The elders aren't the general. Jesus is the general. He's going to tell you what to do. And when you're doing it, He's going to make you do it in such a way you can't stop. If you're walking forward in obedience with this and He shows you what your gifting is, you're not going to be able to get stopped with this. Now, I'm going to go ahead and just read, 1 Corinthians 16, if you want to flip back into that. I want to really share this. Remember that whole, we're stewards of God's grace. It's lavish. It's overflowing. You can't stop it. I want to share one example that Paul shared at the end of this letter to the Corinthians from chapter 16. I'm going to read this out of the King James Version, because this really surprised me. He says, I beseech ye, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. The household of Stephanas has addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. 400 years ago, I didn't even know they knew the word addicted back in King James time. But the household of Stephanas addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Modern translations will take that Greek word, they'll call it devoted or determined or set themselves or organize themselves to the ministry of the saints. But when you think about spiritual gifts, that's what we want to look at. We want to be addicted to the ministry to the saints. That whatever gift God's given to you, that you're going to be so addicted to using it and serving others that you can't stop doing it. It's going to overflow. It's going to come out. It's going to bubble up, and we can't stop it. And then the advice that he gives on to us, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunaeus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Look at the result of the spiritual gifts to the body, right? For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Acknowledge them, right? So when someone's using their spiritual gifts and you're seeing them at work and it's refreshing the body and it's doing the work that God would call, we need to acknowledge them. We need to exhort them in what's going on. It's just natural. Now, it's easy for us to say, oh, don't mention my name. You know what? God says we need to exhort and set examples. And as you're stepping forward as an example of a spiritual gift, others need to come alongside to learn how to operate in the same way. Right? There's that exhorting of what's going on. It can happen through the men's prayer time, through our time here together, our fellowship times, our family time opportunities on Sunday mornings, the shepherding groups, phone calls, emails, texts. We just need to be exhorting each other in the spiritual gifts. And then, if you flip back a page to 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 26, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn, or a word of instruction, or a revelation, or a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so the church may be built up. When we come together, it shouldn't just be the guys with microphones that are prepared to share. When we come together, it shouldn't just be certain people that are going to be sharing. It should be everyone coming together, prepared to share a life with a living testimony of God's work in your life. And yes, we know God did great works in your life before, but sharing what He's doing now as a testimony, even in struggles and trials, that's an opportunity for the body to be built up together. When you come together, be prepared. Have a hymn. Have a word of instruction. Have a word to be able to share with the church and the body about what's going on. And when you're doing that, when each part's sharing, when each part's involved and engaged, we will grow up to be, in respect, the mature body of Him who's the head. That is Christ. And from Him, the whole body, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows up and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And how does each part do its work? Lavishly, abundantly, addicted, where you can't stop it, where the grace of God is just overflowing through the people of God. It's really amazing when you think about how God is just choosing to work through a small group of people for His glory. If you think about that, you know, the church gets built up, the church is mature, but is that all? You know, when every member of the church is fully and selflessly engaged, the church is just humming along and doing the best that we've done. I think about, you know, if we say we're the church is going fantastically great, everything's lined up, this is the best tire in the world. And we can talk about how this church is the best tire in the world. We're fully inflated, there are no flats, everything is fantastic, calibrated balance, best tire in the world. But you know what? A tire on its own doesn't go anywhere. It's actually fairly useless if it's not going anywhere, right? It has to be attached to the car. It has to be filled up and ready to go. But when it is filled up and ready to go, then God is going to direct us where we're going. He's going to be at work with us. So we can be satisfied with the great things going on in the church, but we know it's for a purpose that's outside of us. Even when we see all those things come together and we appreciate the love and the fellowship and the unity and everything else He's doing with us, we know all of that is for a purpose. And I think of a church, when it's built up, is by default a missional church. You know, our purpose is not just to have us together satisfy with what God has done in and through us. Yes, it's amazing. Yes, it's phenomenal how the Lord manifests Himself in this body. But it's not just for us. It's for the world. Everything we do within the church has an impact on the world around us. Everything we do has an impact on the expansion of the kingdom of God. And everything we do, when it's done lavishly and abundantly with this addiction to serving people, is going to be impacting the world. In Romans 12, chapter 1 talks about this. Romans 12, let's turn there. Romans 12, chapter 1. And look at the gifts of the world that come through this. Verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, yourselves, your entire being as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, so these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then to give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You know, a big passage with a lot of meat in it, but really, we need to understand that our transformation, right? Our transformation by the renewing of our mind, our transformation as citizens of heaven leads directly to the application. Now, these first two verses, I would often just look at them on their own. You know, it's a great thing to know that we need to be transformed and not conformed to the world anymore. It's a great thing to know that. But Paul takes it to the Romans and leads it directly into the application of the spiritual gifts. The application of the faith that God's given us through the administration of the spiritual gifts. And to do it to the superlative. If you're doing it, do it to the best. If you're doing it, do it as well as you possibly can. Never do anything half-heartedly. If you think about it, the church is so countercultural in how that comes together. The church is a beacon to the dark world that's around us. And how we interact on the church has a direct impact on the world around us. I like what Paul tells to Timothy. He says, if I'm delayed, you'll know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth. So how we conduct ourselves in God's household represents whether we believe that this is, the church is the pillar and the foundation of the truth. If you think about how God even works in that process of sanctifying us, as we're transformed and we use our gifts, we're brought closer in our imitation to Christ. As we're transformed and we use what He's given to us, we can, and as we imitate Christ, we can test and approve God's will. And in all of it, never think more highly of yourself than you ought, but realize He's the one that's doing it. This is not about hoarding our gifts or patting ourselves on the back. Whatever we do is in accordance with the faith that God's distributed to each one of us. And how do we do it? Lavishly, abundantly, addictedly. Now think about Paul talking about the support he's receiving from the churches that are ministering healthily. Paul's not there present with them. Think about those that are ministering in Turkey and Malaysia and Djibouti and India. As that's going on, how are we addicted to serving them? How are we addicted to seeing our gifts extend over to them in prayer? You know, it's not a matter of just trying to be meeting physical needs. It's a matter of making sure we're constantly remembering and maintaining that relationship ourselves of what's going on. Everything that we're doing has an impact on the world. That's how God's designed the church. If you think how the Macedonians to Paul were, I mentioned earlier, they were encouraging him. They were demonstrating their faith in God constantly and their love towards Paul. I think we as a church need to have that constant reminder ourselves. It's easy for us to think about our needs and what's going on. And we thank God for the great roof. We thank God for the things He's doing in the church. But at the same time, we need to realize He has an expectation that we're going to take these talents and not bury them, but we're going to be using them and be used for the world. At the end of the day, I'd like to say that we're like those Macedonians were to Paul. That he can say that they gave generously, beyond their means, joyfully, abundantly. And that when we interact with others in the faith, whether they're in this church or not, that we'd be able to have them have that same testimony because of the great things that God has done amongst us. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be committed to see how God's going to work in the gifts that He's given to you. And likewise, I hope that you're going to be encouraging others yourselves as you see the gifts that are used in the body. When you notice someone doing something, maybe they're taking that first step of faith, and maybe they're not doing it so well. Encourage them along the way. And if you have this spiritual discernment to know that that's not their area, encourage them in the right way, right? And all these things we can be built up together as we interact with each other with the wisdom that He's given to us. And my hope is that you'd encourage others as you see their gifts in use for the good of the body and the spread of the good news of Jesus Christ. So remember, we talked about the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts come from the Spirit. They're for the church, but they're to the world. And we want to use them lavishly, abundantly, overflowing with an unstoppable addiction. And all that leads us up to how we've looked at our statement of faith. We've actually rewritten this section. We told you at the beginning we had some things we had to work through on this. And we want to have a statement of faith that's positive and it's encouraging. This is what we believe instead of this is what we don't believe. It's also a defining factor in our church membership. And this is important. To be included as a defining doctrine of the church on par with the Trinity and the Incarnation, it's important that we have a clear understanding of gifts of the Spirit. And because it's so important, we want to make sure we're going to be sharing it with you guys today. We want you to look it over, pray through it, be able to affirm it. We're going to have our annual meeting next year. Well, we want the body to be able to affirm this. Maybe you've got some suggestions or amendments that should go along with this. You know, by all means, feel free to give us any kind of feedback on this stuff. You know, we don't want to be in the habit of changing the statement of faith. We really don't think that's a something that should be done commonly. It's meant to be very rare. But when we do so, we want to make sure that we're doing it soberly. We want to make sure we're doing it properly, that everyone's involved, and as a body, that we agree that this is how the Lord is working through us and how we distinguish ourselves. So let me just read through this with you. And you'll see that this is what we spent the last half hour on. We believe that the Holy Spirit gives a variety of spiritual gifts to the members of the body of Christ, the church. In fact, each member has been given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. All gifts of speaking and of serving and all the various forms are meant to benefit one another as good stewards of God's grace. This service is to be thoughtful and enthusiastic, arising out of sacrificial, transformed lives. And my prayer is that this message encourages you in your spiritual service to our great God. Let me just share with you the benediction from our bulletin cover. We read this earlier. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction or revelation or a tongue or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. And that's our prayer. Let me pray, and then Jeff will come up and close us. Father, as we look at how you're currently and actively at work in the world, and you're actively at work through the body, we tremble knowing that you're going to choose to work through these cracked pots, these earthen vessels. You're going to change us. You're going to transform us. And Father, as you do so, you're going to be the one who receives the glory for that. Father, we pray that we would be submissive to you, that we'd be willing to step forward in obedience. Father, that we'd be willing to repent of disobedience. And that, Father, in all things, that Jesus Christ would be glorified as the head of this church. We pray that in his name. Amen.